In this Campus Bible Study podcast, we'll be answering a question from the talk on Luke chapters 18 and 19.
Hi Carl, Tim from Science has this question. Are the terms Son of David and Son of Man interchangeable? And actually Josh in Science also brought up the term Son of Abraham. So what do we do with these titles?
Yeah, this is a perfect question for us to actually stack all the Son of titles next to each other and try to delineate them, because they all bring a beautiful, subtle difference in flavour to understanding Jesus. So that's what we want to do. Let's start with the Son of Abraham. This is the title that Jesus gives to Zacchaeus after saving him. He says, salvation's come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Now, in a sense, Jesus is saying this man is a true Israelite, because who was Abraham? He was the father of the Israelite nation. But there's even more as you chase that title through into the post-cross New Testament, because Abraham, in a sense, is famous for receiving those great promises from God in Genesis 12, promises of land, people, blessing, that special covenant that God enters into with Abraham. And as we see someone like Zacchaeus finding salvation, Jesus says, you're a true Israelite, you're a son of Abraham. But as we go even further, we see that Jesus, the true Israelite, the one truest Israelite, he brings not just Jewish people in to inherit the promises, but Gentile people as well. So books like Romans and Galatians then go on to say that through Jesus, Gentiles can come in and share in the promises and be heirs of Abraham, can be offspring of Abraham. So perhaps Galatians 3:29 is a good verse to sum it up. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So you too can be a son of Abraham, an offspring of Abraham.
So that's son of Abraham. How about son of David?
So David, king of Israel. And basically back in 2 Samuel 7, God basically says to David, David wants to build God a house. David's living in the palace. He says, God deserves a house. I'll build it. God basically says, no, you won't build the house for me. I'll build a house for you. And he's talking, God is there talking more of a dynastic type house, a lineage house, a dynasty of kings. And this is how God puts it in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, David, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And it's that forever kingdom that really starts shaping what it means to be a son of David. So we have this promise that God is going to raise up an offspring of David who will rule as God's king on God's throne forever. So the term son of David implies eternal kingship.
So that's son of Abraham, son of David. What's our next son?
Son of God, which really flows out of son of David. See, the son of David is the Messiah king. And Messiah just means anointed. Anointing was the way that you oil poured on the king's head to show that he was God's choice. And David was the anointed king of Israel. And after David, the promise is that God will, in a sense, raise up a great Messiah king. And in Psalm 2, you've got this psalm which was spoken about on the coronation of the king, and the day that in a sense, the king was anointed as the Messiah of Israel, Psalm 2 was spoken. And so it's worth reading verses 6 to 8 of Psalm 2. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill, God says. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. So this is God announcing to the anointed Israelite king that he is God's son. So son of God does not just mean God the Son. Son of God has this messianic meaning to it as well. And that means when you see Son of God in the New Testament, you've got to not just be thinking God the Son, you've actually got to be seeing Messiah in there, the descendant of David who will reign on God's throne forever.
And that's taken us all the way back to the first Son of that we mentioned, the Son of Man.
Yep, we've talked about this one already in the podcasts, and this is one of my favourites. Son of Man was really just another term for human, up until Daniel 7 changed things forever. Because Daniel saw in Daniel 7, in the vision of Daniel 7, Daniel saw a human, whom he called just a Son of Man, who walked into heaven as the judge and ruler of all the world. And so from that point onwards, Son of Man could never be just a human. Son of Man came to have that extra significance of this is the human through whom God will judge the world and rule the world. And so in a sense, we've got these four titles. We've got Son of Abraham, which just means really a child who inherits the promises of God. We've got Son of David, that's the promised eternal king. We've got Son of God, which is another way of saying Israel's Messiah king. And then Son of Man, which is sort of more like the world judge, the world ruler. And each of the titles finds their natural home in Jesus. And when each title is used of Jesus, it brings its own unique reference to help us understand who Jesus is and what he is doing. So for instance, when you see Son of Man used in the Gospels, you've got to be thinking, this is the world judge, the world ruler. And I think sometimes Jesus uses that term, Son of Man, of himself, ironically, when he's being judged by others. And it just shows the ridiculousness of the world judge being judged by puny humans. Son of God, it's the similar kind of thing. It brings a lot of flavor to the Gospels when Jesus is referred to as the Son of God. It means he's God's chosen Messiah king, and he should be treated as such. And so as you understand the nuances of each of these little titles, they help you to better understand who Jesus is in the various contexts of where Jesus is in the gospel and what he's doing. And of course, the last great privilege of the Christian is to inherit the title Son in a way, by being united to Jesus' sonship. And so that's why whether you are a male or a female, you are in Christ only a son of God. Because whatever your gender is, your identity is not dependent upon your gender when you're in Christ. Your identity is to share his identity. And so the Son of God shares his identity with all those who are united to him by faith. So I want to encourage you to enjoy the privilege of sharing in Jesus' sonship and keep learning about all of these beautiful titles and how they help you understand more about who Jesus is and what he has done. And it brings God's word a great richness as you understand these titles better. And we're going to finish by reading from The Great Privilege of the Christian in Romans 8 to be called a child of God, a son of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. What a privilege that Jesus shares his precious sonship status with every Christian who is united to him. Keep persevering in Christ.
Thanks for downloading and listening to this podcast. Please make sure you subscribe on iTunes to automatically download our most recent podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Campus Bible Study, you can visit our website, campusbiblestudy.org.